But look what Jesus says. Look what he says in John 17 and verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth.
So much
I have
stuff here.
Somebody help me here. I have finished
John chapter 4
the
this
work.
Morning. Which you want to deal with the
at that point his job
idea
was done as far
Jesus
as the work that he had come to do.
Jesus on assignment. Jesus on assignment. What does it mean?
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Jesus on Assignment. Before we get into the message today, we've been offering a book touched by the breath of God that deals with and answers questions such as who wrote the Bible? How can we know the Bible is the Word of God? Should we take the Bible literally? Are there contradictions in the Bible? Did certain groups tamper with the Bible? Is the Bible an ancient book with no relevancy for today? How about the translations? Are they reliable? Are there lost books of the Bible? Can we trust the Bible?
We're going to see
so
this morning in
if
the
you want a copy of this book,
that Jesus
touched by
was on
the breath
assignment.
Of God, that,
that
answers these
Jesus
questions and many more, contact
he
us here
us
at the Anchored in Jesus radio program, and we will get a copy.
When we look at John chapter
now,
4
for the conclusion
verse 32,
of Jesus on assignment.
We see that Jesus is meeting with this lady at the well, and we got two messages out of that. You know, we got the living water out of that, and then last week we talked about worship. So there was two messages. So we're going to leave the lady now, and because she has left us, in essence. She has gone into the city, and she begins to tell the people of the city about a person that told me about myself. He told me about myself something that the average person shouldn't know. And so she's gone, and his disciples, you know, they come. And first of all, you know, they want to question it, you know, him being there with the woman at the well, but nobody said anything. They said, you know, we better just let this go. Somebody said that, you know, he must be hungry, you know, that you need to eat. And Jesus says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And as he looked at this meat to eat, the disciples begin to ask a question among themselves. And they say, well, you know, we've been gone. We've all been together. Has somebody brought him meat? Has somebody given him something to eat? And then Jesus responds by saying this, that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What a powerful statement, that my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now notice this. This does not mean that Jesus did not need physical food. And so he's not saying that he doesn't need physical food, but like food sustains and strengthens, doing the will of the Father satisfies a hunger within and sustains him with a strength that took his focus off of physical food. Wow, think about that for a moment. Have you, I don't know about you, but sometimes there are days that I get so busy. You know, it may be studying for a message. Like on Thursdays, that's my study day. I try to block most of the Thursdays off just to get into the Word of God, just to let the Word of God just bathe my soul in God's Word and dig down deep. And sometimes, I'll be in it, and I don't think about lunch. I don't think about snack. You know, I'm just in it. And so, in a sense, that's kind of what it means when Jesus said that I have meat to eat that you know not of. Because sometimes you can become so immersed in God, you can become so immersed in his word that you even lose the fact that you want to eat something. But you know, the reality comes that, you know, I'm going to go to my spot over in, no. but you see what I'm saying? That Jesus is not saying that he didn't need physical food. But he said, yeah, can you imagine when he was dialoguing with that woman at the well? He was in his element. Jesus was in his element. That's why he came. And so he gets into this intense dialogue with this lady. And the disciples have gone off to get food because they were hungry. And they were sure that Jesus was going to be hungry. And Jesus dialogues. And he says that I have meat to eat that you know not of. And so as we think about this meat, what was Jesus' meat? What was Jesus' meat? It was two things. It was to do the Father's will, and it was to do the Father's work. That as long as Jesus was doing that, he was feeding, he was eating, he was being sustained, that his focus was... His focus was not on food. I have meat to eat that you know not of. His focus was to do the Father's will. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. That when Jesus started his public ministry, it says in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That Jesus did the Father's will. And there are other verses there. Matthew 4, 23, Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 10, 7. His will was to do the Father's will. But he also was about doing the work of the Father. And so the will and the work of the Father are kind of intertwined. And so we see that what was his work? His work, we see in Matthew 4 that he began to preach the kingdom. Now, let me say something. I know I'm going to ruffle some feathers, and I know I'm going to upset some folk. But, you know, Jesus only one time in the four Gospels ever said anything about being born again. Just one time. And so Jesus' message was not on being born again. Even though you must be born again, we understand that. What was Jesus' focus? His focus was the kingdom. His focus was to introduce the kingdom. That's why God brought him into the world. God brought Jesus into the world to focus on the kingdom. Now, I'm going to show you this even more, that his focus was to do the will of the Father, which was to present the kingdom. But look at John 17 and verse 4. John 17 and verse 4. Now notice this, wow, notice this, that Jesus at this point, I need you to stay with me now, at this point, he hadn't died, at this point, he hadn't been buried, and at this point, he hadn't been resurrected. John 17, he hadn't died, he hadn't been buried, and he hadn't been resurrected. That was the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15. That's the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. But look what Jesus says. Look what he says in John 17 and verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have, somebody help me here. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. At that point, his job was done. As far as the work that he had come to do, that the work he had come to do was to preach the kingdom. And he had preached it for, according to John MacArthur, 18 months, and according to some others, 3.5 years, whatever case you take, that he was here for a while and he was preaching the kingdom. And now in John 17, he says, the work that I have done, or the work that I came to do, is completed. and that is to preach the kingdom. What did he say? My meat, what I feed on, what I'm all about is preaching the kingdom of God, doing the will of the Father, doing the work of the Father. That's what I'm all about. But we see Jesus revealing the will of the Father and his work in another place. Look at Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Oh man, this is some powerful stuff here. This is some powerful stuff. Because now we're seeing the will and the work that Jesus was all about, right? So what was the Father's will? The Father's will was for Jesus to die on the cross. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39 in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, I had the opportunity to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And just as I was in the garden, I was thinking, man, this is where Jesus prayed that prayer in the garden on verse 39. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as what? Thou will." What did Jesus say? What's his meat? What was the meat of Christ? To do the will and the work of the Father. To do the will and the work of the Father. Verse 40. And he cometh again unto his disciples and findeth them sleep and saith unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went a little further and again the second time and prayed saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Jesus, I'm not saying that he didn't want to go to the cross, but he knew the struggle of going to the cross, and it was only by the Father's will that he continued. "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And so we see that Jesus preached the kingdom, right? That was the will of God. That was his meat. He preached the kingdom, and then he said that, "I have finished the work that you have given me to do." Boom! That was finished, right? The will and the work of God. But now, the Father's will was for him to die on the cross. And Jesus completes the Father's will. And we all know this verse. We don't even have to turn there. John chapter 19 and verse 30. When he died on the cross, what did he say? "It is finished. It is finished." That what? The will and the work of the Father that I came to do. He came to preach the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. He said, "Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do." He came to die on the cross. He died on the cross. And he said, "It is finished. Paid in full." And so we have this testimony. We have this example of what it means. Just look at that. Look at that right there. When Jesus said that my meat, that my food is to do the will and the work of the Father. This is what he was talking about. This right here. So my question to us today is, this is my question. What is your meat? What is your meat? What is your food? Jesus said that his food, his meat, was to do the work and the will of the Father. As you sit here today, my brothers and sisters, and as we look at Jesus who came here on assignment, I have to ask you today, what is your assignment? What is that task assigned to you that is fulfilling, that is your meat? Do you know the Father's will? Are you finishing the Father's will? What is your meat? As you sit here at Bethany Baptist Church today, what is your meat? Sadly, many people live their lives without understanding their kingdom assignment. Oh, you have a kingdom assignment. You have a kingdom assignment. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You have a kingdom assignment. And many people live their lives without understanding their kingdom assignment. Jesus clearly understood his kingdom assignment. He clearly understood it. It was to do the will and the work of the Father. And what was that? To present the kingdom and then to die on a cross. Right? That was the work and will of the Father. He understood that. And as we saw on that chart, he completed the very thing that he came to do. And yet and still, many people live their lives without understanding their kingdom assignment. Or, what's even more sad, is they live their lives expending their energy on their own assignment. And that is one that you have self-assigned, that you have assigned for yourself. I heard the story about a man who got hired on a job. And there was a box with a certain number on it that had something valuable in it. And his boss said, your assignment today is to go into this big warehouse where there was a bunch of boxes with numbers on them. And he said to find this one box with this number on it. There's something in there that I need. And so the man spent, half of the day, he couldn't just, I don't believe in luck, right? But just he couldn't luck up in get it the first time, right? I mean, he spent a half a day looking for this one box with the number on it that had something valuable inside. And then he finally found the box after a couple hours with that number on the side. He opened it, and there was nothing in it. And his boss had given him the wrong number to look for. He spent, well, this is good. This is good. This is good what I'm getting ready to say, right? Right? He spent his time looking for a box that had nothing in it. He had a what? He had an empty assignment. And sad to say that there are many people today that you might be doing a lot, you might be moving along a lot, but you have an empty assignment. Because in the end, you're not doing the will or the work of the Father. My, my, my. My, my, my. In the end, you're not doing the will or the work of the Father. And if you're not doing the will or the work of the Father, that's an empty assignment. I don't know about you, but I want to be on a kingdom assignment. I want to know what my assignment in the kingdom is, and I want to be about the kingdom assignment. See, you know the other thing about an empty assignment, all right? It's just like there was a Scotsman, and he came and he was teaching Ulysses S. Grant how to golf. And they were out there, and for the life of him, Ulysses S. Grant could not hit the ball when they teed it up. He just swung and swung and swung, and those of us who can't golf, we know what that feels like. And he just kept missing the ball. And Ulysses S. Grant said, as I look at this sport, there seems to be a fair amount of exercise, but I fail to see the purpose. And when people have an assignment, an empty assignment, that, there's a whole lot of exercise, but in the end, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? Your kingdom assignment is to promote the kingdom. That's your kingdom assignment. Now, when we talk about the kingdom assignment, there are two phases of this kingdom assignment. The first phase is the general assignment, and that is to promote the kingdom among your family, friends, job, and community. And how do you do that? You do it by being what? Salt and light, right? Whenever people see Christ in you, you are promoting the kingdom, right? Whenever somebody on your job has a problem and they know that you know the Lord, they know that you know the word of prayer, and they come to you and say, you know, I see something different about you. I know that you are a person of prayer. Can you pray for me? That's your kingdom assignment. You are fulfilling your kingdom assignment to be salt and light. When you live a life that's not pleasing to God, then you are not being a good witness for the kingdom. You are not fulfilling your kingdom assignment. And so as I try to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, as I try to live a life that glorifies God, and as it says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whenever I do that, pow, 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 that's my kingdom assignment. That's my kingdom assignment, right? So there's the general kingdom assignment. But you said, Pastor Glaze, I didn't think he was going to go there, right? Then there is the specific assignment to promote the kingdom. And we see that in Romans where it says that God has given to everybody gifts. And what are those gifts? Those gifts are for you to serve in ministry, right? So there's the general assignment to promote the kingdom where you are salt and light, but then there's that specific assignment where you know what your ministry is and you are about doing the ministry that God called you to do. Then you are executing your kingdom assignment. Knowing your assignment will do a couple things. Knowing your assignment, first of all, it will decrease your aggravation. There's a whole lot of people that are aggravated because they're doing something that's not their kingdom assignment. You know, now again, I believe that, you know, there are jobs that we need to step up and we need to, you know, fulfill. But, you know, when you're doing something that you're not supposed to do and you start getting aggravated, you got to ask yourself, is this my kingdom assignment? You know, you look at, you know, the choir that was up here this morning, Dr. Jones. You know, when you're in your element, right? It's not aggravating, right? I mean, it's a joy because, you know, you're doing kingdom work. That when you stand out there and you greet people, or you stand at that door and usher, that's kingdom work. And you should if you are out there and you look like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice, then that might not be your kingdom assignment, right? You know, because your kingdom assignment should be one where, you know, you're a greeter, you know, where you letting the love of God show on your face to other people. Because why? Man, this is my kingdom assignment. You know, I've told the story before, and you guys, you know, probably getting heard me telling, but I love telling the story, right? I love telling this story about the man, the boy and the donkey, right? And they were walking down the street, and somebody said, well, why don't you ride the donkey? And so the man, he started riding the donkey. And then they rode to the next little town, and somebody said, man, you know, how can you...
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half, Are You Stuck at Bethesda? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Jesus on Assignment, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and ask for Jesus on Assignment. That's anchoredinjesus.org, and request Jesus on Assignment, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, where you can view or download more than 400 resources that we have available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. Remember, it is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I'm reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.